Let us pray. Dearest God, in this time of contemplation, find us and lift us out of our personal and individual destruction zones. Exercise out of our minds, out of our hearts, and even out of our attitudes any debilitating, isolating, or destructive self-criticism. Somehow, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a pastor and preacher, I don't easily speak about the political circumstances of our days. And the Kavanaugh hearings didn't pull me anywhere near to the direction of our program calendar theme of forgive often. As a refresher, forgive often is part of a national setting slogan of our United Church of Christ, which states, be the church, protect the environment, care for the poor, forgive often, reject racism, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, embrace diversity, love God, enjoy this life. At the spring retreat, your leadership and those who attended the workshop chose forgive often as our focus for relationship with God and for relationships in this church with each other. So into our exploration of forgive often comes today's scripture lesson and the voices of those protesting against the cultural norm. Cultural norm which silences women who are sexually abused and harassed, and a culture which simultaneously browbeats men and boys into becoming angry deniers. How can I talk about forgiveness in this climate? Well, I'd like to discuss the kind of forgiveness that will liberate us and others to live deeply into that command of Jesus that we love each other. And friends, we cannot love deeply while we are living in a destruction zone of debilitating self-criticism. So how does this relate to the hearings and the recent appointment to the Supreme Court? A story from my life. I went to seminary in the late 1980s, and during those years, one of my classmates was accused of sexual harassment. The school put together a hearing. I was called as a witness in that hearing, and I defended him. Skip ahead 6 years. It's now 1994. And the same classmate was brought up on formal charges in a civil suit, and I was subpoenaed to a deposition. I had to hire a litigation lawyer, and now I could no longer pretend that my friend was not what he was, a predatory pastor. I could no longer deny that my friend was not who he was conditioned to be by a society. He perpetuated violence against women as fun. At the deposition, I could no longer lie to myself. My friend was abusive to women, all women, and young girls, and me. It's difficult to forgive often. But do we even include ourselves when we work to forgive often? When we replay the past in our minds, do we rehearse all the places where we went wrong? Do we reduce ourselves to our worst moments? Remind ourselves that we have hurt others, that we have lied, deceived, complained, berated, and disappointed others. Do we ensure that some part of us, it has to be true, some part of us is not worthy of forgiveness? Our scripture lessons come to us from the Johannine community. That is the community that followed the Apostle John. And we love to read 1 John and the Gospel of John because it's full of light and love. This text insists that living deeply into the love that Jesus commands means we have to trust God with our worst moments. Have to remember that God knows us best, and this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. The paraphrase of the message says, "For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves." That same verse in the Common English Bible translation says, "Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." And goes on to say, "Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in relationship to God." So can we forgive often when it comes to ourselves? Will we trust the love of God so that we can receive God's forgiveness? Are we willing to stop our worried hearts from being a destruction zone? And what is the penalty if we keep up the debilitating self-criticism? What does it even matter? Well, friends, I believe it matters all over our lives. The scripture lesson continues and says, we cannot be bold and free before God without forgiveness. Without forgiving ourselves, we cannot live deeply against a world full of shallow defensiveness. I wonder if anyone else has had their memories jogged by current affairs. I wonder if there is forgiveness needed in order to gain or regain our voices in the service of love's work. I wonder if self-forgiveness makes us more free to love each other as Jesus commanded. I wonder how many men and women might find their voices if we fessed up, grew up, received forgiveness, and forgave ourselves. When the testimony of a woman, a credible witness, I hear, did not appear to be heard, the voices of victims all over this country could not be silenced. And those victimized in the past were re-victimized by the process that says the word of a woman can never stand against the word of a man. This text is about forgiveness. Forgiving someone else? No. Forgiving ourselves. Until we are freed from the guilt, we cannot be free and bold in our loving convictions. Until we accept forgiveness for ourselves, we will defensively deny what is actually happening around us. Do we believe that God's love has the power to change us, to change the political landscape of our country, to change the conversation. Jesus told us and showed us that God has that kind of power. Jesus told us and showed us that bullies cannot ultimately win. Jesus told us and showed us how much we are loved and how to love one another into a more forgiving humanity. A forgiving humanity. A forgiving humanity can hold its social expectations to a higher standard. A forgiving humanity can courageously hear the cries of people's pain over the din of denial and the pettiness of false pride. There's a reason I don't easily preach about politics. It's because I was refusing to forgive myself for all the times I have been compliant and silent in the face of evil. I'm committing to you and to myself to forgive myself, to receive the forgiveness that God has already prepared for me and given me. Today I urge you, as I propel myself into God's forgiveness, then we will be free to live boldly. We can declare no destruction zones are allowed here, only zones where the truth is told in love, sometimes at public hearings, sometimes in whispers, sometimes in the street at the top of our lungs, and sometimes in the church. Like Paul's prayer, I am very proud of the resolution that we passed at the annual meeting of the Michigan Conference of the United Church of Christ. I'm proud that the person who started the conversation was our DMA moderator, the Reverend Gary Bennett, an African-American pastor who serves at the Shrine of the Black Madonna in Detroit. He said, we gotta listen to these women. We can't not listen to them. How courageous for a nearly 80-year-old African-American man in this country. May we forgive ourselves so that we can find our voices and insist that we be a forgiving humanity in this family and in the world. And may there be a forgiving zone inside each one of us. And may the loving zone of truth set us all free by the power of God's Holy Spirit. May it be so.